Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
In This League, we are back, hour two. Thank you guys for tuning in. I am Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. Find us on Twitter at IsTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports, and over at InThisLeague.com. It's really amazing baseball being here and being done with baseball drafts, but it was a rude awakening getting all the emails this morning from Bogman of the 400 football drafts that we're going to be doing here shortly. So we're not like out of the water or anything like that, but it is good having, you know, real life sports, basketball being played exhibitionally, and real baseball games. Cause this time it counts.
I'm back to the dueling TVs, man. I've been down to just the one TV for so long because there's been no live sports. But now that we have preseason basketball and regular season baseball, I'm back up to running the two TVs at any point during the day now. So
my whole family was just not ready for it yesterday. Of course, this is how it works. Of course, the game is getting set up. I had earlier taken my son to just kind of like out a little bit safely, just to get him out of the house for a couple minutes. Had been doing a few things. And then it's the game comes on and it's literally like, hey, son wants to watch a movie with wife. Can you watch the daughter and do painting? And I'm like, no, the baseball. And then mother-in-law comes out, hey, let's have family swimming time. Let's all go swimming. Chris, are you coming swimming?
No.
You guys, baseball, it hasn't been here the whole time. And I'm like, and I was getting mad. I'm like, I've been doing everything everybody wants. You pick the one day to everybody be like, oh, family time, family time, family time. No, me time, me, selfish time. None of you, me.
I mean, it's only been 4 months in the making. You figure they could give you the day. You know, I specifically today I organized everything that we could possibly do to be done before most of the baseball starts. So there is a baseball game that will be on while I'm recording one thing, the early game. But after that, I'm going to take a shower, and I think my mom's making a brisket, so I'm going to go over to mom's house and have some brisket and watch the D-backs game. So I am all about.
You feel complete? You feel good?
I mean, I don't feel, not with baseball starting in July, I don't feel complete, but it feels better. I'll say that. Even if it is weird. I don't know. Have you watched any of the preseason basketball right now?
Not really.
So that feels weirder to me than the baseball does. Because like with the baseball, at least you get the different camera angles. You know, they're shooting, crowds across the street that are doing stuff. They're focusing in on some of the cardboard cutouts, whatever. And, of course, a lot of it is the chatter about the empty ballpark and all that stuff. But in the NBA stuff, they don't change the camera angle. So it's almost like playing a video game, you know what I mean, where the camera angle stays the exact same pretty much the whole time. So that is a weirder feel to me than the baseball broadcast. But anyone for basketball is better than A-Roid. With ESPN.
I mean, that's fine for you. It was weird during the Washington game. There was a lightning strike and some of the cameramen had to leave their post during it. And like they had a couple, like there was that one bases loaded single Giancarlo Stanton had that went to right field and they just never went to it. And it was like weird camera stuff. It's been very, very 2020 baseball. Like the other one we didn't even get to yet, but the Blue Jays, literally every single day has changed where the Blue Jays are going to play in 2020. Going into yesterday, and even as we recorded last night, this is what I had seen. We recorded like when the games were over. So if you want to listen to kind of a reactionary podcast, plus on top of it, a look at like weekend streamers, go and listen to the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast. But at that time, the Blue Jays were going to play in Camden, which is pretty exciting from an offensive standpoint because of how friendly it is. And then it all fell apart and it's gone. And now they're going back to Buffalo, where they literally just could have agreed to in the very beginning, which that was the thought. And then they're just like, no, we're going to just do everything else. We're going to try every other single place. And nobody wanted them. Nobody wanted them.
Very strange. Like they do their first. And honestly, I think this would be my first option too, was going to PNC. You know, they wanted to go play in Pittsburgh and just go to the off days of the Pirates. But then Pennsylvania said no. And then, like you said, we heard Camden last night and that was all but done. And then I guess Maryland backed out. So then I actually heard after that, that Connecticut was really trying to get them to play in Hartford. And but they wound up going to Buffalo to play, which is kind of what it seemed like after Toronto had said no, that it was definitely going to be Buffalo. But this was like, I guess the stadium is so crappy or something that they really didn't want to play there. And they're already having like some issues as they just got in there today with the lights and stuff like that. Luckily, I think they start out on the road.
Yeah, they're in Tampa. They were in Tampa on Friday and they're in Tampa through the weekend.
But there were talks about them possibly doing every game on the road. Just switching their away games to, or their home games to wherever they, whoever they're playing away, which would have been tough too. But I mean, that's like, you know, you read about some of these teams in the 20s and 30s that were literally barnstorming. They were traveling baseball teams, just like the traveling circus. They'd go to a certain place and play at a field and sell tickets to however many seats were there. And then they'd be
gone. A young team. They'd be fine. Vlad and Bichette and Kevin Biggio, they're young bucks. They can handle that.
Can handle the road way better than anybody else.
Tell you the rules of the road. The book of the road.
You know, if it gets me 50 miles down the road.
I still haven't watched the new one, by the way. Silent Bob. No, yeah. I mean, you know, because when I didn't go because I think COVID was going on and I stayed home and you guys were out till 3 a.m. to see the movie at a comedy place. It's on Amazon for free and I still haven't watched it because I just feel like it's not going to be good.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't great. But you remember that I went and I did not get COVID there. So
you didn't. You did. You but you were there until 3 a.m.
You weren't there. COVID was not your concern. It was that the show didn't start until 11.
That's true. And
we told you it didn't start at 11. 11 is when they started seating people. Yeah. So the whole thing didn't even start till 12.
It was originally supposed to actually start at like 8 or 9 and they kept moving it. And it was just like, thanks, but no thanks. So I don't know the Blue Jays thing. It's going to be really fascinating to watch the Blue Jays home games, you know, in this stadium and see what a disaster they make it out to be and what it's really going to be. And I don't know from a dimension standpoint, I think it's friendly. It's friendly enough, isn't it?
I don't know about the dimensions or anything. And that wasn't the stuff that I heard. I just heard that it's like an older facility and it just wasn't. It wasn't a great option because they don't like the aesthetics for it. And like the equipment in the locker room and stuff, I guess, is old as well. So they're probably going to have to make, you know, a significant amount of improvements to the locker room and the stadium before the players get back to play home games.
Yeah. I mean, just do what a lot of the other places did, you know, start doing like the suite areas with lockers and just spread it out. And though, by the way, watching the games, did you ever get like these moments where, you know, they've said like, no one's going to touch and everyone's masked. And then you look in the dugout and the camera and like 3/4 of people are not wearing masks and everybody's high fiving. And, you know, like it still looks like this dude spitting seeds and they're going around like Giancarlo Stanton, when he hit a homer, they like handed off the ball, like like everyone's still touching each other.
I definitely saw the spitting and that stuff in there. It's funny on MLB Network, they're showing a live reporter and it is pouring down rain and she's holding an umbrella over her head right now. I don't know. I'm assuming that's in DC from last night or 2 nights ago or whenever. But I'm just glad that the Buffalo Blue Jays doesn't that sound weird to say?
I like it actually. The Buffalo Blue Jays.
Yeah, the Buffalo Blue Jays found a place to play. And because it was really looking like, you know, they were going to be a homeless team this year. And that road schedule would have been so bad. And then what do you do? Like, where do you hunker down if players do get COVID? Do they just go home to isolate? Do they stay in the city where they're at that time? What do they do at that point?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Speaking of the isolation and positive tests, we had literally nothing until Friday. It was, I even made a joke on my prospect show because I had no information about, like, we're seeing Jordan Alvarez on a back of a milk carton here. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, from the top rope, we get news that Jordan Alvarez and Jose Urquidy have been cleared for baseball activities as of Friday. Like, holy crap. Alvarez was one of the biggest mysteries of this entire thing going through because they wouldn't release what was going on. It's still undisclosed at this moment, by the way. They're just saying he has resumed his activities. Him being a DH probably helps the possibility of him getting back in the lineup pretty quick. Like, he's, how much they were going to play him in the field was to be determined. Dusty didn't really seem too ecstatic about that. So I don't know. I kind of think early next week, you might be able to start seeing him back in the lineup. And Urquidy didn't get the fifth job. That went to Framber Valdez. But when it turns back around, you could see Urquidy back in the lineup. So that was good news for the trash cans.
So hold on. It was Jordan Alvarez is good. Did they update Urquidy or did they just?
Yeah, they said they've both been cleared, but they.
Oh, okay. It is, I didn't hear the Urquidy part. For
yeah, it's undisclosed. Like, they're still not saying what may miss time. You can get. But the only problem with that is you'd like to know, were there complications? Like, that would be great. Were there complications? And was he able to work out? Was he asymptomatic? You know, because if he's asymptomatic and he kept working out, well, then you probably are going to be good for him to go like Monday or Tuesday, just DHing, because he doesn't have to get warmed up in the field yet. And he could just get his at-bats. If he was suffering some really bad consequences and he wasn't able to do anything, well, the ramp-up time is probably more like weeks. It's probably going to take like 2 weeks to get set back up to get out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the, you got to be respectful and all that stuff to their privacy and HIPAA and everything. But it's also kind of like, look, man, we're getting reports on everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Everyone else. I mean, Freddie Freeman talked about how he was, how miserable he was and how terrible it was for him. And there's other guys that said, yeah, I don't know. I got, you know, a little soreness or whatever. And that was that. And it's over with now.
Look at the Soto thing. Soto was in camp. And then he was like all of a sudden positive. And then there were a bunch of negatives and there was a bunch of craziness with it.
Like a false positive to me. Because he did. I know those rapid tests aren't as accurate or whatever. But he did like two or three of them. They were all negative. And then he had tested before and been negative. And then all of a sudden he was positive without feeling anything. So it just seemed really weird to me. I'm hoping that we'll get something this weekend saying, yeah, they're guessing it was a false positive because he's tested negative like six times in a row. And now he's back out there. So yeah. I think he's back very quickly.
Yeah. And I guess at the end of the day, like, what does it matter with Alvarez back? I mean, the positive would be, if it was more of a, even if it wasn't asymptomatic, but like he's been maybe working out a little bit and he's now cleared to get back with the team, then, you know, those late pickups are going to be beneficial, probably in a couple days, you know, starting next week. Like, all of a sudden, a guy that was, you know, a universal top 35 pick was dropping down into the 70s, 80s, 90s. It's going to be one of those benefits, you know, and there's going to be teams out there that are going to be victory lapping because they took advantage of the benefits of discounts, you know. Yeah.
Trout specifically, but in our draft, Jordan Alvarez fell
crazy.
He was like, it was so much
because I want to say it was around 100.
Yeah, he was at the top of my queue forever. Yeah. And I just, you know, I already took Freddie Freeman. I didn't want to take a risk on Jordan Alvarez, but it was getting to the point where I was like, if this guy falls again, I have to take him. Luckily, you and I were on the wheel.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I had went like heavy, like one of the guys that I didn't really get a discount on, but had been a discount for a while. And I really wish I had taken more of advantage of it, but you can't blame for the concern was like Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge looked so good in the first night. I mean, just on top of everything with Scherzer, hitting it hard, looked great, but there was so much stuff with his injury, you know, he looked more dicey than Stanton. I wish in other drafts I had jumped on some of the discount. But, you know, the discount's going to catch up. Like the Alvarez fan might, or the Alvarez drafter might, you know, have a decent advantage. The guy that got Trout at 10 or something. Okay. You know, that's going to be pretty positive, even though he misses a few games. But, you know, it works both ways. You know, the Kershaw news of him being on the IL. And by the way, what was it we heard this morning? Like And it doesn't look good. Like, there's like no timetable, and it was a back injury, and he hurt himself working out in the gym, and there's absolutely no timetable.
Yeah, there's not a timetable for Clayton Kershaw, which also you have to think with expanded playoff spots. I mean, the Dodgers were already almost a lock to make the playoffs, but even with expanded and now it being, you know, almost an impossibility, like the Dodgers have to really falter even without Kershaw to not make the playoffs. There is zero reason to rush Kershaw back at all. So
yeah,
save him for all those terrible starts that he has in the playoffs. That's what everyone's been saying.
Real quick, because I know we want to do some football. I'm just looking at the Friday starting lineups. And I know as people are listening to this, you kind of got the stats behind it. But some interesting lineup stuff. Your boy Yandy Diaz leading off for the Rays, and them hitting Hunter Renfroe too. I mean, just what a crazy power combo.
Like, it seems like you would do that opposite. You'd hit Setsugo, you know, one, and then maybe Diaz, and then Renfroe three, or vice versa on the other two. But yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
So starting at second, what happened to Brandon Lau?
Yeah, just not in the game whatsoever. Brandon Nimmo leading off for the Mets, and Cespedes is hitting five at DH, already back in the lineup. That's got to get you all hot and bothered. Look at this Reds one, too, by the way. Matt Davidson is their DH. With all of the guys that they have, they sent down Aristides Aquino in favor of Philip Ervin. Ervin is leading off for them. There's no Akiyama in the starting lineup. Senzel's in center, and they are DHing Matt Davidson. What a troll job at the beginning of the season for the Reds.
I can't imagine that Matt Davidson gets too many more starts, but this was what I said in March, and I kept to it a little bit during the second draft season of, I don't really want to mess with Reds that aren't named Castellanos. I came around a little bit on Akiyama. I think I may have got one share on him, but it's really concerning that opening day he's not in that lineup.
I'm going to watch that the whole weekend, too, just to see what they do with that DH spot, because
so I'm
the what?
Matthew Boyd's a lefty, so I'm guessing that's why.
Yeah, maybe. So. But I still, like, I want to monitor, like, the Matt Davidson one jumps out to me, like, what's happening there? And confirmation, Matt Adams was the DH for the Braves. Hitting five above Austin Riley, who's starting at catcher or starting at third base, and Alex Jackson is the starting catcher for them. The Colorado Rockies, no surprise that there are surprises. They're DHing Raimel Tapia, and no Garrett Hampson in the starting lineup, which has people just absolutely infuriated right now.
Tapia in the NL only, so I'm good with that.
This is one I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but for some reason it stands out to me. Eloy Jimenez for the White Sox hitting six. That doesn't seem right to me. I like Roberts at seven, which is a little bit better than hitting at the very, very bottom. You've got DeMonico and Garcia at 8 and 9, but I don't know. For some reason, I thought Eloy would be the five hitter, like guaranteed, but they've got E5 above him. So Eloy Jimenez down at the six spot.
Yeah, I'm... I don't mind Eloy dropping down a little bit.
Nah, it is, I don't like it.
But I don't. I think I have one Lubob share and I have zero Eloys.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, we got to go to break here. Just a little look at the starting lineup. We'll talk way more about this over on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast on Monday. But don't you go anywhere. A little bit of football talk. Football team.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
In This League, we are back. That is Bogman. I am Welsh. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, 3 hours. John Lobb coming up, correct? John Lobb or is Bubba back?
John Lobb.
When's Bubba coming back? Is this how he got out forever?
It might be. I mean, I haven't... I haven't bothered him with when are you going to come back or any of that yet. So
we were, me and Bubba were texting about a certain show leaving a certain network this past week, and certain network no longer in the content making business so much.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see.
There's a little bit.
I may lose some stuff too. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, that could have been the start of some of it. Yeah, that show going to a new place, always a little bit of a surprise. Twitter's always got some fun surprises for us, like, you know, older fantasy people being super creepos to female fantasy people. Yeah, to certain people who have been in the news, SiriusXM, you know, those type of people being weird creeps to others, and big shows, you know, big shows, especially on the podcast tournament. Leaving networks, Bogman. We're still here though. We're like roaches, you know. We just don't go away. Like, we might disappear in one area, but we'll like show up over here.
Do you ever feel like and see, you'll actually understand this joke now. Do you feel like we're treated like the Hitchcock and Scully of the fantasy industry?
I definitely understand that. There is something to that. And if that were true, very disturbing. And I feel like I would be the Scully, where I'm just like, you know. Yeah,
you're tall. I always figured I would be the Hitchcock because he's weird.
Yeah, so. But I don't like any of it. That doesn't make me feel good. They're just like, Scully's like, I've never had a really romantic relationship where anybody left me, but I do have 2 kids. So they don't speak to me anymore. Like, that's Scully. Boy.
I can see like those weird openings that Brooklyn Nine-Nine has. He goes, Hitchcock had one, I think it was in season 1, where he goes, "Hey, my wife just died," or "my ex-wife just died." And they go, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And he goes, "What? No more alimony, baby." And then it plays the opening.
I don't remember. No, that hasn't happened yet.
Hitchcock, like, I can't imagine with some of the things that those guys do, how many times they have to shoot them because everyone starts laughing.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I see it on faces sometimes on cuts that they keep. It's a really, really great show. But you guys can come and check us out over at InThisLeague.com. John Lobb coming up in hour 3. And next segment, we'll see what's going on. What are you drinking there? Is that a special Coke or is that normal? Oh, Dr. Pepper. It looked like orange to me on the camera. I was like, is that like some vanilla Coca-Cola?
I don't like, you know, I don't like vanilla in anything but ice cream. And boy, like dessert stuff.
Let me tell you something.
But I can't do vanilla soda at all.
I'm kind of with you. I don't particularly like flavored, you know, like flavored sodas. Like, my wife loves cherry Pepsi. That's her like number one seed.
Is probably of all the Cokes, that's my number one seed.
Okay. That's her number one seed. I don't get into those, but they've got a Dr. Pepper cream soda one. It is delightful.
I gotta be honest here, and I know that this might be my most unpopular take on anything that we do. Not down with cream sodas at all. And I know that Dr. Pepper kind of has that in it. Dr. Pepper has cream flavor and vanilla flavor. That's 23 other flavors. So I don't really taste much of it in the Dr. Pepper, but that's as close. Dr. Pepper is as close as I come to any type of a cream soda. I also don't like floats. I don't like ice cream soda floats. That's gross to me.
I mean, I haven't had one of those in forever. Have you tried the Dr. Pepper cream soda one?
You know what? It doesn't matter what it is. If it's cream soda, I won't.
Oh, really? It's good. Like
root beer. I don't like root beer either. So any type of root beer, doesn't matter. Root beer float, none of that. It's all gross to me. I do not like it.
Yeah, I forgot about that. You're not a root beer guy. I mean, I'm not either. I've never actively been like, you know what I want? Barks. You know, well, I've never done that.
How about this? Because both of these gross me out, and I'm curious to know what your which one you'd rather have. Would you rather have root beer or grape soda?
Well, that's a good question.
Pretty good line. They're both terrible.
That is, I don't know. I
have grape.
You know what? I think in a one shot, I think grape soda would win it. But if it were like, you're like, you could only have one soda for a week, I actually would go root beer.
You know what? That's a great point. I think you would tire of the grape quicker than you
real quick. Grape. Yeah. Like if you were like, it's Arizona, it's like super hot. If it were like super hot out, like a grape soda, a little grape drink, I could get down with one of those and knock one out. But then I'd be like, oh, that was pretty sugary. But I would choose it over root beer. But yeah, like after 2 or 3 days, I would desperately want root beer. Desperately. Just not Diet Coke. Yeah. I would drink urine before Diet Coke.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's surprising. I like regular Coke better than Pepsi, but I like Diet Pepsi better than Diet Coke. I don't know.
Well, Diet Coke's the worst drink on the planet.
Do you like, is Diet Pepsi okay to you and just Diet Coke is disgusting?
I don't think I've ever had Diet Pepsi because I don't drink Pepsi because I'm an American.
Oh, okay. Well, I drink Pepsi because that's what's in the stadium at Chase Field. Like they have a deal with Pepsi.
Communist Diamondback.
But at home, it's always Coca-Cola products. It's, you know, but I shouldn't drink any of it because it all gives me kidney stones.
Yeah, it's true. The only positive if a place is a Pepsi only product is you can go get 7-Up. Like that's a universal because like Sprite works everywhere. Sprite is a super utility it's Danny Santana. It's what?
Is Sprite your number one soda seed?
No, Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Dr. Pepper is the number one tier. It's the Garrett Cole, Jacob DeGrom. But then Sprite, because Sprite, I'm saying it's like the Danny Santana. It qualifies at all positions. And 7-Up and Sprite are so much alike that I can balance between there. But if I'm in a Pepsi-only place, I'm not drinking any of their other products because, like I said, I support, you know, free speech in America.
7-Up and Sprite is probably, like if I had to do the taste test of which is which, that's probably going to be the hardest for me.
I agree with that. By the way, next week, Sports Grid will be sponsored by Pepsi product. It'll be Bogman and Lob for the whole thing.
The pizza place I worked at was also all Pepsi products too. So like, I'm like, oh God, I guess I have to steal Pepsi instead of Coke here.
Yeah, I've had a Pepsi like once or twice, but 7-Up and Pepsi, it's universally good. Like it's also one of those that you mentally will talk yourself into if, you know, if you drink too much soda or too much caffeine or something like that, you're just like, oh, a Sprite. Like, that's okay. There's no caffeine in there. There's all the sugar, but that's okay.
Dance with any waitress when I'm at a restaurant, like, I'll have a Coke, Pepsi, okay? You have Dr. Pepper? Yes, we do. Dr. Pepper then. Thank you.
So, why would they have Dr. Pepper and not have Coke?
Dr. Pepper is separate from Coca-Cola.
They're giving you Mr. Pibb. You know that, right?
You know what? Mr. Pibb is fine. Mr. Pibb and Dr. Pepper also very, very, I mean, I always wonder what Pepper did to get that doctorate that Mr. Pibb couldn't do. That always plays my mind like, oh, Mr. Pibb couldn't get that doctorate. I guess you just went to a 4-year, you know, whatever. I guess I'll drink you, but I prefer the doctor if I could.
Mr. Pibb went to Akron where Dr. Pepper went to, you know, like Princeton.
Yeah, Mr. Pibb.
Yeah, and Diet Coke went to Scottsdale Community College.
Hey, we both went to Scottsdale Community College for a little bit.
Point, so, you know. Point still holds.
Also, Scully and Hitchcock went there. It must not be that good.
Yeah, I'm not changing how I am on there. So the Washington football team, that is what we've got now. I got a hot take for you, Bogman, because we had in here our boy Jesse. We have a live stream room as we're recording this so people can hang out on our Patreon. Highest level only. Only the most special of Patreon members. And Jesse did a, you know, hot take Pepsi over Coke and stuff like that. I have got a hot take for you. I actually like the name, the Washington football team. I think they should stick with that. I don't think anything else they're going to do is going to be good. Don't think so.
You know what? You just can't have that. The Browns are the closest thing named after the old owner. You know, hey, look, we're the Cleveland Browns. You know, I don't. You have to be more inventive than that in this day and age. Well, obviously, you don't have to because that's what they're doing.
I think they should be the Washington Football Club.
Well, that's what soccer teams do abroad. They're FC. You know,
just do that. The Washington Football Club. WFC.
Yeah, I just
have a little elitist logo. Maybe put like a little pentagon in there, like a little like eye with a triangle to get the conspiracy people.
You know, or whatever. I did see that there is some, you know, nice conspiracy theory of the whatever the outside source is that buys up trademark names and websites for the Washington R words is now. Yeah, they bought the DCSentinels.com.
Yeah, I saw that, and everyone was like, Keanu Reeves.
They buy outside websites for many, many companies, not just the Washington R words or former
football. By the way, do you remember 1 week ago when all of Washington was going to break apart and Daniel Snyder was going to be sent to an island in a jail with Giselle Maxwell or whatever it was because of all the things, and now all we're talking about is the Washington football team? Remember that?
Yeah, and you know what I also thought was really funny is that a report came down that the NFL was thinking about possibly fining Daniel Snyder for
maybe.
All this. Like, okay, hold on. You suspend guys for 4 games for failing a couple drug tests for pot, but you might maybe fine Daniel Snyder that has had 15 women come forward and file sexual harassment lawsuits stemming back from 2002. So you're going to let this behavior go.
You've been naughty. Naughty Snyder.
For 18 years, you're going to let all of this crap go by. But if Josh Gordon smokes, you know, one trash bag filled with pot, then he has to go and, be suspended.
I think if anybody smokes a trash bag of pot, there might be a problem. Like,
I don't know how you fail. To finally get into those programs, you do have to fail like 4 times in a row. Because the first time they say, hey, you failed this, we're going to hit you again with another one and make sure it wasn't a false positive.
It's along the lines of the guys that fail at the combine. Like, you do know that you're going to be tested. Like, how stupid are you?
Yeah. Oh, so you spent the whole offseason getting fat?
Yeah.
Well, now you have to run as fast as you can.
That's you know the answers to the test of the combine. You're going to be tested. You're going to be, they're going to have a camera on you to look at your body. They're going to do your background check, and you're going to be drug tested. So you have the answers to the test, yet you still failed it.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, Josh Gordon, you failed, but we're going to test you again to make sure it wasn't a false positive. We're going to test you tomorrow. Okay. You're getting tested tomorrow about this. So, you know, you would think that for most people, they go, okay, let me do all the stuff to flush all of this out that I possibly can. Then they fail again. Okay, now you have to enter the treatment thing, which is still not public knowledge. You enter the treatment, which means they start testing you, I think, once a week or something like that. Then you have to fail that 2 more times before you get suspended. So you have more than enough steps to not get suspended. So it is really dumb that Josh Gordon does that. But still, it's an innocuous activity, whatever. You know, you're doing this, and the NFL can be as backwards as Major League Baseball, of course, but what do you mean you're thinking of finding? And everyone is saying that, you know, what this same stuff happened with the Dallas Mavericks. I don't know if you remember. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. I don't think it was as deep as the Redskins stuff or the R-word stuff. I think it was...
Problematic.
Cheerleaders.
Not the R words, Bogman. It's the Washington football team.
Washington football team. So, I think it was the cheerleaders for the Mavericks. There were like 3 or 4 of them that filed sexual harassment lawsuits. Honestly, it was here and gone so quickly because, Mark Cuban took responsibility. He said, this is our fault. We're going to make real changes to get this done. It's on me first because I'm at the top. And he really moved forward and moved through this quickly and made all the changes that you would want to see a team do instead of saying, well, I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
You know,
well, but you know, hey, credit to Washington. No one's talking about it anymore. No one cares. It's all about the logo and the name. That's all anybody's talking about, which, by the way, I think they should call themselves Washington the Football, so the acronym can be WTF, and then their logo is Mark Maron.
Their logo is just Mark
Maron.
It'll
be Boomer. It'll be Boomer, and it'll say Washington, Boomer Lives.
Yeah, exactly. He was lost in California and reappeared in D.C.
What do you want them to be?
You know, I like the Red Wolves. I think, and I like it because you can switch the feather logo to a tail, and I've seen a couple of things that look pretty cool like that. You can also keep the hail, you know, the HTTR, even the hashtag HTTR, hail to the Red Wolves. You could keep that. Red Tails is also a good one. Anything
hail to the football team,
I really hate that. I really, really hate that they don't have a name or a logo or anything like that. You got to have something, I feel like. So, anything that has to do with DC as a place too, anything that's unique, you know, make them the governors, you know what I mean? Make them the congressmen, make them the presidents, you know, something to do with local, DC would be awesome too.
Maybe the dead presidents, it'll all be skull logo. It'll just be the robbing bank skulls.
The United States of America, and their intro song will be Lump.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. And they just smash peaches everywhere.
Famous, right? Yeah, all these things play all the time.
They do.
But I don't really care what the name is, as long as it's not something just generic and made up and stupid. That, you know, like, don't be another weird animal logo. Like, Red Wolves is it. Like,
did you like the Kraken for hockey?
I thought that was pretty cool, and the logo was pretty cool too.
The hype video was amazing, but it was amazing, but they failed to like not have like a Kraken come out of the water, which they should have done. Logo was kind of blah, but the name is pretty cool. Washington should do something like that.
Just something unique and cool, and just not, you know, anything that's not racist, I guess, is better. So football club is better than Redskins, but not by enough of a stretch.
I think at this point, you should look to not everybody, like, I'm not saying that wasn't offensive, but everything is super dicey. If I were owning a team, I would just call it the team, because I know I'm okay. Like, there's nothing down the road that can get offensive or I can be in the wrong. I'm just the team.
Washington Welsh, come on, volunteer your faith. Right,
we got to go to look. We're going to break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
It's In This League.
Everybody's half win and half lose.
Okay.
The lose half is
Scott Bogman.
Right.
The winning half is
Chris Welsh.
Right.
In This League.
It's inside. It's where the fear lives.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Could you start over again?
Let's play ball!
In This League.
Let's see.
Welcome back. Final segment, hour two. John Lobb is coming up with Bogman. Bogman and Lobb in hour three. What do you guys got going on?
Player debates, more NFL player debates, and getting locked in. And John has some good opinions on these player debates. So he is not at a loss for an answer. There's no one I could name off, and you'd be like, well, I haven't really dug deep or anything. He knows, and he has strong opinions on all these guys. So always fun to do the third hour with Lob.
That'll be very, very good. We need it sometimes. We're in need of that energy. Probably one of the weirdest things I've woken up to this week was the news on Twitter that Mike Tyson is returning to boxing at 54 years old, and he's going to fight in an 8-round exhibition match Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah.
What?
Talking about this on social distancing last night, the Welsh, and I don't think I'll pay to see that.
I will. I think I will. I mean, I'll probably watch somebody on Periscope or Twitter that's streaming it.
It's not Tyson's fault, but the last time I bought a Roy Jones Jr. fight, I paid like whatever the ridiculous amount for him. Were you over at my place?
No, I remember you and I were on the phone, and I feel like our boy Will had put like hundreds of dollars on Roy Lewis.
I did.
Oh, that was you that had the hundreds.
My gambling phase.
Bogman had a bad gambling phase. How many hundreds was it?
About $400 I put on Roy Jones Jr. And I paid for the fight too.
Who was it against?
Antonio Tarver. Okay. Antonio Tarver Jr. I remember this because it was when I lived in that house for a year, and that was the same year as Ben's rookie season. But Antonio Tarver knocked him out in the third or fourth round, and I just completely deflated. I lost all that money on him, which really was I had made in football, so I was doing okay.
Yeah, but losing $300, I mean, losing $300 right now would make me, not feel good, especially with everything that's going on. But when you're like in your 20s, or I don't remember what you were, 19, 20, 21, like $300 is massive.
2003, so
$400. Yeah,
or I think so. I mean, it was a lot of money, and I paid for that fight. And while I got up to take a leak, he got knocked out. So, it was one of those. And then later that night, my cousin who I was living with passed out, and I had to call an ambulance for him too. So that whole day was just complete disaster.
You don't want to watch this? I am all about this. Like, I don't usually get too much. I didn't get into
stupid Roy Jones Jr. again ever.
Okay, but you don't have to bet on him. I didn't want or need to go pay for like the Mayweather and McGregor stuff. That's fine. For some reason, and it's in the nostalgia in me and whatever, and it's probably going to be embarrassing after two rounds, but Tyson Roy Jones Jr. just feeds to my youth. I want to put money on Tyson, and I want to watch it live.
I'm with you. I want to put money on Tyson for sure.
Like, there's you have to put money on him. You can't go and bet on Roy Jones Jr. I mean, Tyson's going to probably be, you're going to have to put so much money down to make anything significant, but that guy, there's no way he's going to stop. Like, he's still on. Do you ever see the video of Ocho Cinco? Ocho Cinco has this video where he, in some backstage area, he was meeting Tyson. Like, he walks back there, and Ocho Cinco's got a camera crew with him. And he walks back there, and Tyson, they sees him, and they come up and they dab and whatever. And Tyson sees the camera, and he goes, "Hey, what the hell you think you're doing? What are you doing?" And he's about to go full Tyson on this camera crew. And Ocho's like, "Hold up. That's just my camera crew. They're following me." And he goes, "Oh, cool, cool. Sorry about that, man. You know how I get." And like, he is still so fired, jacked up to go. There's no way he stops. I do think there's going to be some embarrassing hugging and tire and stuff like that, but that guy's a bulldog. He'll go 8 and he'll knock out Roy Jones Jr. or hit him a lot.
Yeah, I was a little surprised because I didn't realize that. Did Roy Jones Jr. put on the weight to move up in the weight class? Was he always?
I don't even know what he looks like. What does he look like right now? Roy.
I didn't think they were in the same weight class, to be honest, because I thought he was more of a whatever it is, middleweight or welterweight.
I mean, Tyson looks so old. That is a little bit of a problem. He looks so old right now. You think this is going to be one of those things we're going to get fooled? Remember when they're young, like,
young. So, what? Jr. isn't young.
Yeah, he's but like, do you remember like during Shark Week where it was like the swimmer guy is going to swim against sharks and whatnot? Like, do you think they're going to do this and it's really going to be holograms or a video game of like old Roy Jones Jr. and old Mike Tyson and they're not really going to box?
Did you realize? I didn't realize that.
Nothing. Why? I didn't hear anything you just said.
Jr. is 51.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think about Roy Jones Jr. That makes sense.
Maybe early 40s, maybe 44, 45 at the latest. I didn't realize he's 51. So
I want to see a picture of him. Like, does he look? He doesn't look that great. I'm seeing, oh God, he looks old. This is a bad picture. I'm going to share this. Hold on so you can see this. This is not a flattering picture of Roy Jones Jr. Look at this. Look at the right.
Oh, Jesus.
He looks so old.
Yeah, he looks like a retired boxer in the
Olympian
picture. So.
Yeah,
but doesn't... he looks heavier. So maybe that's what's putting him into that weight class and all that stuff, because he was always called pound for pound. Remember? That was his thing, was pound for pound. I'm the best boxer and all that stuff. So I just didn't realize that they were in the same weight class.
I mean, I don't even think about weight class whenever I think of boxing. I think that's just like I ever used to watch wrestling, and it just doesn't go in my mind. This is like people should fight. People should just fight whatever weight class. Like, I don't care whose weight class of Tyson.
Like, I'm looking at all this stuff. Let's see. I guess that was this is Olympic stuff. Professional career. Hold on. Middleweight. Yeah, middleweight, super middleweight, light heavyweight. I don't know that he's fought at heavyweight. Light
This should just be retirement weight. Like, they're old. They're 50. Did you see? I saw on the ticker on ESPN last night that they said, I don't understand this at all. It said Mike Tyson re-engaged the process of boxing at this age after seeing what Jerry Rice and some other athletes did at their age. And I was like, was Mike Tyson 15 years behind? Like, what are you talking about? Like, Jerry Rice played till he was old, but that was like 10 or 15 years ago. Like, what are you talking about at his age? What does Jerry Rice have anything to do with Mike Tyson playing right now?
Yeah, I feel like that's just a thing for old athletes to say. Like, whenever it's like, hey, you shouldn't be doing this, you're way too old for this, then they go, well, Jerry Rice did it. You know,
I would say Brady.
Rice was also the best professional anything of all time. So what are you talking about?
Do you think Tyson gets knocked out?
Not a chance. No.
You think Roy Jones Jr. gets knocked out?
I do. Because this is, I'm telling you, he was over here fighting at, and by the way, I see the date of this. It was, it says Fall from Grace, and it says on May 15th, 2004, Jones faced Tarver in a rematch. Jones was heavily favored to win, but Tarver knocked him down at the 131 mark of the second round. Jones had won the first round. Tarver only landed two punches in the first round. But in the second, as Jones tried a combination, he was caught by a big counter left hook from Tarver. Jones got his feet by the count, but for the first time in his career, was ruled unable to continue by referee Jay Nady.
Do you think?
Round knockout.
Do you think Tyson's gonna make it to the match though? Because the guy owns like a dispensary, and like, is he gonna pass like tests and stuff?
Well, I don't think pot is something that they test for in boxing anyway. So they might. I don't know. I mean, and there's also so many different state regulations and so many different. This is the thing.
Fight
this
Island.
This is why boxing isn't more popular. Is because they don't have like one unifying belt. There's all these different types of belts for heavyweight champion, light heavyweight champion, all this stuff. There's like three or four different types of belts from different organizations. So we never know, like, is this the big important one or is this just another one? It seems like every boxing match that's on television is for some type of a title.
I mean, it's one thing that wrestling has always done relatively well. I mean, they've gotten away from, but it's like you have like four belts and there's, you know, differing values of them. I agree with you. I could be more into boxing if I understood more of like who really is the best. Cause like, oh, this guy's the best. Well, like his weight class. And like that guy's the best. Well, weight class. Let's just like have them all out there. Like, do we really have to have the 10-pound difference? Like, let me just understand exactly who the best are. And you know what? Just put like a, put some barbed wire or something out there. Like have one steel chair hit allowed per match.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just one match to like the death. Knife.
Yeah. Like and one knife.
One knife. Like, yeah. It's like Daniel Boone, just throw it in the middle of the table. Yeah. And then whoever gets to the knife, that's who, you know, gets it.
Yeah, like don't look in their gloves to see if there's bricks in there or something like that. Like, let's get
back, like, the old Colosseum in Rome and start having gladiator fights again.
Yeah, I'm in.
Lions in there, maybe a couple bears, you know, make it fun again.
Yeah, I mean, what are the tigers with at MGM doing anymore? The ones that ate the guys?
Well, one of them died, didn't he? Didn't Siegfried or Roy die recently?
Yeah, so what is the tiger doing? The tiger's free. Put him in the cage. Yeah.
Not in Tiger King's place.
Advantage Tyson. Advantage Tyson with the tigers.
I remember The Hangover. You remember the first time watching The Hangover and how funny it was?
I do, Chris Farley. You just pulled through like... Remember The Hangover? Like, that was cool.
Yeah.
There's a tiger.
Thank you, Lauren Michaels, for pointing out my deficiencies.
No, not that. It just, that was funny that you did that. You went into full, like
Beatles.
Remember that thing? I'm very much, I actually was thinking about this when I saw the video of Terrell Owens racing Tyreek Hill the other day, and everybody was, you know, no one cared about the what?
You see that.
You didn't see it?
I didn't see it. How bad did Tyreek beat him?
Not that bad. Not bad enough. And it was enough that nobody talked about Tyreek Hill winning because he beat him. But Terrell Owens looks absolutely ridiculously phenomenal. Like he could go out and play. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? Like I'm all for the big three and having the retired players getting back out there. Let's get an old flag football league going. I'd watch that. I'd watch that more than I would XFL if you had a flag football league of all like jacked retired players and then some of my favorite boxers. Let's get out there and do that too.
Wouldn't watch any of this crap.
I would.
You wouldn't. You maybe fantasy. You'd watch one or two times, but you're not going to sit down and watch a flag football league. It doesn't matter who's playing in it. Unless it's, you know,
give me Barry Sanders out there.
You're not going to watch it. You're not. Maybe you watch it one weekend or something. You're not going to keep watching it.
I'm definitely going to watch the Tyson Roy Jones Jr. one because I can't think of a better matchup. And it's just in the wheelhouse that it might still be entertaining and it might still be some form of a boxing match. But I'm worried that they said it's 8 rounds. Like, I feel like they should have capped it at like 3.
Well, I mean, 8 rounds is already kind of capping it. You know what I mean? Because
most fights 54.
They already lowered it from 15 or whatever it used to be way back in the day to 12. So I think 8 is lowering it even more. But both these guys are over 50. Like, is the league going to be sponsored or is this match going to be sponsored by, like, Cialis and cholesterol medication and a bunch of those things?
Who are the dudes that still like boxing at this point? You think how many 20-year-olds love boxing?
Say that, and then all of these boxers are the highest paid athletes ever. You know what I mean? Like, if Manny Pacquiao gets out there and fights, the entirety of the Philippines buys that fight.
Yeah, okay, but yeah, I mean, I guess there's that. I think it's also gambling that plays a big role in it. These
and also the fact that we don't get this every weekend, there's not a boxing matchup every weekend. So when one happens, you can go, okay, well, I'm gonna buy maybe 2 boxing matches this year. So spending the $85-$90 on one of them isn't that bad because I know I'm only going to do one other one this year.
And it should just be like boxing sponsored by gambling. Like that's just all that it is. They can have all these million. I mean, think of the money that's going to be exchanged. Think of the money that'll be exchanged in that Tyson Roy Jones Jr. on wherever, FanDuel, wherever you can go and do it. If I could, I would put money down on it. I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, but... I see. I know after losing all that money on Roy Jones Jr., I have no business betting.
This is your vindication. This is how you get back at Roy.
That's my favorite Brooklyn Nine-Nine gif, by the way, is when Captain Holt goes, vindication! Mm-hmm.
What if he's good? Here's the last thing, because we have a minute left here before we got to get out. What if Tyson looks good, gets Roy out quick, and what if he starts putting his hat back in like the real boxing ring, not just retired dudes?
I mean, then
Mayweather Tyson,
it's gonna be boxing is gonna get popular again.
Dude, Mayweather Tyson, would you get down?
Different weight class. I would absolutely watch that because Mike Tyson would murder him. But that's a different weight class. They're not even close.
Stupid weight classes. I don't even understand it. All right. Yeah, whatever. Just put on Fight Island and just make it happen. Lots of money. They both like money and they can gamble on themselves or whatever. Whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter. They can start a CBD place. I'm out of here. End of hour two. Hour three coming up. John Law Bogman doing some player debates. Tons of baseball, tons of sports for you guys to consume this weekend. So get it out of your system. Join back with us during the week over on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast and football podcast. We've got two episodes each coming up next week. And I will be back with you again next week at the same time. But hour three coming up. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.